every now and then when I get a little out of focus or feel like I'm just not quite in sync with what the Holy Spirit is doing, Catherine Meyer is one of the first people I call. Because if I've learned anything at First Methodist Houston, it's that whatever the Holy Spirit has got going on, the Holy Spirit talks to Catherine among the first people in the city of Houston. Amen? Amen. Amen. If you have not had the pleasure of a conversation or a cup of coffee or lunch with Catherine Meyer, what a treat you have in store for you. She is just one of the most extraordinarily dedicated people to seeing kingdom work getting done in the city of Houston. And I just have to say, Catherine, personally, what a privilege it is to do ministry with you and how awesome the gifts you are that you bring to us. I think you might agree. So we were talking about when to, because we usually celebrate NIA, Neighbors in Action, one Sunday a year with us, and we were talking about when to do it, and Easter comes early this year, just as the calendar would have it. And so we started talking about, do we really want to talk about NIA on Palm Sunday? And the more I got to thinking about it and praying about it, I said, what better time to do it? Because Palm Sunday is the day where Jesus enters the city, the holy city of Jerusalem, with all of his disciples, and everyone announces in a very public way who he is. And one of the hopes Jesus had for us is that we would, as the church, continue to do this, shouting in a public way who this man is. And I view, maybe you'll join me, NIA, the missions that we do, all the work with kids, all the work throughout our city that First Methodist Houston does, is simply nothing more than a continuation of the shout of who Jesus is. He is the person we need to know. He is the person who will save our city. He is the one on whom our hope is built. It's his love, it's his trust, it's his hope, it's his justice, it's his kingdom that we are all working toward. Amen? Amen. And NIA is just one expression of many that our church offers now and has offered over the course of its history to continue this proclamation of who Jesus is. So I am so thrilled to share the pulpit with Catherine and talk to you about NIA today. Some of you may not know a little bit about Neighbors in Action. It's a mission in Port Houston, but we have a little video to show you this morning to kind of bring you up to speed on some of what the Holy Spirit has been doing at NIA in the last year. So if you would, put your eyes on the screen and let's learn a little bit together about what NIA does and is doing. Now you know a little bit about why I call Catherine when I feel a little out of sync with the Holy Spirit, because there is so much that God is doing through her and through Neighbors in Action. But I don't want you to just hear it from me. I want you to hear it straight from Catherine herself. So would you welcome Catherine Meyer to our pulpit? We are so thrilled she's here.
Good morning. I am so happy to be here this morning and to talk to you a little bit about what God is doing in Port Houston through Neighbors in Action. I know that many of you, so many of you, have known NIA for so long, have supported us through finances, prayer, your time. So I'm really talking to those of you who might not know what Neighbors in Action is, to just give you a little bit of overview. So Port Houston is a Hispanic immigrant community about 10 minutes east of downtown, and we as the church have been present in that community for over 20 years now. We want to offer a place where everybody feels welcome and safe and can experience God's unconditional love. And we do that through different programs that we have every day of the week, through Bible studies for all age groups, small groups, retreats, summer camps, adult education classes, tutoring, and many more things. You should have gotten a bulletin insert where you can read more about our programs, and you can find us on our website and Facebook as well. And Laura, for example, who you just heard in the video, she has two daughters herself, and they attend weekly programs and attend our summer camps and our monthly service projects for children as well. So one of my favorite things in the job, and I think I talked about that last time, when we had Port Houston Sunday here downtown, is to work with the moms of Port Houston. We have a moms group, about 25 women from Port Houston, and we meet every Thursday for about 3 to 4 hours. We sing worship songs, we pray together, we share our faith and our struggles, and we read the Bible and study it, and then usually we end up with a meal, which is my favorite part. No, just kidding. Obviously, the Bible. Yeah. Yeah. And so Laura mentioned this group in her testimony and how she has encountered God's love in a very different way than she used to know it, that she has encountered a deeper relationship with him. She has understood how much and how unconditionally he loves her and how his forgiveness is just infinite. And she says that even though she's not important to the world, she understood that she's important to God. So this gospel today is about Jesus entering Jerusalem. The crowds are celebrating and praising Jesus. And even though, as we know, they expect a different kind of king, there is no doubt that Jesus has awakened great hopes in the people that are there, especially in the hearts of the poor, the humble, the simple, the ones that society has forgotten, the ones who do not think that they matter to the world, the ones that they think they are not important to the world. So how does Jesus enter Jerusalem? The crowd acclaim him as a king, and he doesn't deny it, but what kind of king is Jesus? If you take a look at him, he's riding a donkey, he's not accompanied by a court, he's not surrounded by an army as a symbol of power. He comes as a king of peace, who dismantles the weaponry of war, the leader who shows power through compassion, through reaching out to the ones that are on the margins of society, or by reaching and touching those who are untouchable, and healing and calling for justice and peace. And he's received by humble people, by simple people, who have a sense of faith that tells them, this is the Savior. And I think that is what Laura and so many others experience when they come to Neighbors in Action. I love how she pointed out that the most important thing we give is Jesus. It's not the money, it's not any other material goods, it's the relationship with God. Because what we want to offer is the good news of the King of Peace to the people who have felt marginalized, people who have thought that are not important to the world, and thus no important to God. And the gospel we want to tell them changes the outlook on their lives and the world and themselves, and gives power to those who have felt powerlessness. And I think this empowerment through Jesus is what our aim is at Neighbors in Action. Laura said that once you realize how much God loves you, you can go out and love others. I love that she's realizing that once what we receive, we can give. And this does not only show when our moms go and serve in a local nursing home once a month or do sales, taco sales, to support other families in need. When Harvey hit last September, our moms worked together with volunteers from our church and organized a food pantry that served more than 200 families this first week. And 20 of our moms went out to other parts of the city that were more affected and helped people in need there, especially elderly couples. They cut out sheetrock and cleaned the houses and organized furniture for people who had lost everything. And the beauty of seeing this is that most of the neighborhoods where the moms went out to help were actually wealthier neighborhoods than the one they live in. And they were people who they didn't really know how to communicate, because people who spoke English and they only know Spanish. But somehow through Jesus, they felt empowered to do this, and they felt this calling of going out and just being Jesus to others in times of need. They also volunteered 5 nights in a row at the Toyota Center and did many other things. They also are volunteers in our programs and leaders for our Bible studies as well. So what I love most about Laura's testimony is her pointing out that once you realize how much God loves you, this love builds you up from the inside, and then you can go out and love others because you realize that we are all brothers and sisters, despite our differences. For me, this is one of the most fundamental truths of our faith. God, at the very core of our existence, has already connected us since eternity. He's made us all members of the one body. And that's the spiritual reality towards which we are allowed to grow in our daily lives. Today, we celebrate Jesus entering Jerusalem as a foresight of his ultimate sacrifice that makes this union among us possible, a sacrifice that makes us brothers and sisters in him, As the one body of Christ, we will resurrect together as Jesus did. And this means that at the end, the differences between us are no differences that cannot be overcome. There are no gaps that cannot be bridged. We might feel disconnected through race, socioeconomic background, language, immigration status, culture. We might feel that a mom from Honduras or Mexico that lives in Port Houston has little to do with the executive that lives in River Oaks. But Jesus has already established this deep relationship between each one of us, even if we don't live up to this reality. Our lives are deeply interwoven. Each one of us is important to the world. What concerns one of us concerns us all. And no difference can be big enough to separate us from each other or from the love of Christ. And we're invited to grow into this reality. And I'm not going to lie, this is hard to wrap my mind around a lot of times, but I can accept it in faith because it creates this inner vastness. It creates an openness of the soul. It moves me away from my narrow ways of perceiving people or entire social groups, because when I can see the other person, not just for him or herself, but as part of something bigger, as part of me, then I know that we are all part of something and I can love freely. Categories like rich and poor, American or Hispanic, native-born and DACA recipients, educated and illiterate are then things that can't separate us anymore. There's no more us against them. There's only us. And this vision of the body of Christ also helps against our feeling of powerlessness. I'm not sure about you, but it happens a lot of times to me that I feel powerless and despaired when I hear the stories, what's going on in the world, about in Syria and Iraq, and all these families in Port Houston, they come with so much baggage, so much background story. And many people have fled horrendous situations in Honduras, in Salvador, two of the most violent countries in peacetime at this point, where every 74 minutes somebody is murdered by a gang. We have the drug war in Mexico. And so people come and tell me the stories, and so easily I feel overwhelmed, and I feel there is nothing I can do. I'm here. What can I do? It's the work I'm doing is really just a Band-Aid. But then Jesus tells me, no, now look at the reality of the body of Christ. Look at the reality of you all being connected with each other. When we do something to heal the body at one part, it will have effects on the whole body. It will bring healing to the world. And so we can start in our corner of the world. We can start right where we're at in our lives, and where we bring peace, where we build bridges, where we overcome injustice, that's how we heal the body of Christ, and that has effect on the whole world. I want to end by thanking First Methodist so much for your open hearts, for your prayers, for your support, for just embracing this ministry as one of yours for so many years now. I want to thank you for all the people who have come to volunteer, who have made the effort to get to know somebody that doesn't look like them, somebody doesn't speak their language. I have had so many of you in Port Houston several times. I have many volunteers that come weekly, and this is all, it came from this church. I want to give a short update because people have asked me about our capital campaign. We've raised about 75%, and this is also thanks to this church. I would say 90% of the money we have received is through your gifts. So I want just to say thank you for your support, for your love, and I want to thank all the Port Houston families who are here. Many moms are outside preparing their children right now because we're going to have the Ballet Folklorico dance after the service, so please stay for a couple of minutes to see. They put a lot of work into this dance for you. And I want to thank the children that are going to do the work for us. Thank you so much.
Well, I say it all the time, that the reason you have to be part of First Methodist Houston is that if you want to be a disciple of Jesus who actually does the things that Jesus did, First Methodist Houston is the place you have to be. if you get in front of Catherine Meyer, and do so at your own peril, okay? Because she and the Holy Spirit, if you actually get in front of her face and talk to her, will change you. And she will begin, the Holy Spirit will begin to work in such a way that you see people differently. You see gifts that you did not know you had. You see yourself using your time, your talent, your treasure to achieve kingdom things, whereas before they may have been a little selfish. She, the ministry of NIA, the power of the Holy Spirit, will change you. So if you want to be that disciple who actually does what Jesus did, this is one of the key people you have to know. Now, does it need to be NIA? Obviously not. There's even more. Harvey House is going up as we speak, and teams of volunteers from First Methodist Houston are working to build a house that was wiped out by Harvey and restore it. We have volunteers that are Stevens ministers that go and visit the elderly and those in need in our congregation and beyond. All sorts of ways for you to actually reach out and touch and be with folks in the same way, the very same way that Jesus was. And so if you want to continue this shout on Palm Sunday, this proclamation of who Jesus is, what he's about, the kind of things that he does, you have the chance through First Methodist Houston to do exactly that and continue this proclamation of who he is. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. This can continue through our work, through our service, through our proclamation as we, just like they did long ago, seek to follow Jesus. You see, I think all over, just all over our culture, God is trying to grab a hold of us. Just grab a hold of us and get our attention. Did any of you watch, or any of you watching the NCAA men's basketball tournament? And yeah, isn't Sister Jean awesome? I've asked God, when I'm 98, I want to be the chaplain of a men's basketball team. How awesome. God responded to me, don't worry about it, Andy. It's a slam dunk. I got it. Sister Jean, though, I was watching the NCAA tournament, and this is being covered, you know, national television, right? So now national television breaks away to the Loyola Chicago locker room, and what are they doing? Diagramming plays? No. Are they getting some rah-rah pep talk from the coach? No. There is Sister Jean in her wheelchair holding the hands of the players, and they are praying. And I just wonder, was that Jesus trying just to, in some way, on a national stage, just get our attention a little bit about what really matters? And isn't it awesome how after the game, the players go over to her and give her a hug? That's great. After Loyola Chicago won their last game, I was watching, it was just after the game was over, and the coach, I forget his name, but the coach was being interviewed by the reporter, you know, it's like, oh, tell us the keys to the game that really allowed for, you know, your team to win. And so he, being a basketball coach, I forgive him, but he almost broke into the mechanics of the game. He almost started talking about rebounds and shooting and defense and all these things, but then he stopped himself mid-sentence, and he said, wait. He said, the first thing that I have to do is to give glory to God above for giving me these players, for giving me this opportunity, for giving us this ability to be here. It's because of him that we are here. And I just wonder, is that God trying to break in and get a hold of us and say, look at what really matters? Because when we actually do what Jesus did and serve in the ways in which he gave us, it changes us entirely. And so you just got to be the kind of Christian that says, either I'm going to be selfish with my salvation and keep my Jesus to myself, or I'm going to give myself away and trust the Holy Spirit as it happens. One keeps Jesus to yourself. The other unleashes the Holy Spirit, and it just makes all the difference. Because when you know a Catherine, or you know a Kristen Jones, or you know an Ann Spears, and they talk to you and help you and help shape your faith, it's amazing what the Holy Spirit does just because of the connection. Last week, I talked about a little bit, or in the sermon, tried to talk about how, you know, we stereotype people all the time and characterize them, usually negatively, to avoid having any kind of relationship with them. In our culture today, we do this with politicians all the time. And I live up north, and Kevin Brady is my congressman, and I talked a little bit about Kevin Brady as somebody that I've had a chance in a little bit, tangential way, to get to know, because every now and then we work out at the same gym. Well, I'm talking about this last week. Yesterday, I'm at the YMCA in the Woodlands, Texas. I'm bench pressing about 450 pounds. Just, it's impressive. If you want a witness, call Kevin Brady. He was there. And I look down the gym, and sure enough, it's Kevin Brady, my congressman, the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee in Washington, D.C. And so I look at him and I say, you know what? He's busy. He's got a lot going on. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to work out. So I'm working, pumping. You know, people are impressed looking at me, asking me about my nutritional plan, all sorts of things. But then he comes over, Kevin Brady does. He extends his hand. He says, hey, Andy, how's it going? I said, Kevin, it's going great. And he said, how's First Methodist Houston? And I said, well, it's touch and go. We'll see. But I mean, I think we got a shot. And I said, we're doing well. And he said, how's your family? So we talk. And I said, Kevin, I just got to tell you, I actually mentioned you last week. And he said, how many hisses did you get? I said, not that many. Not that many, really. And I said, oh, I was just talking about how it makes somebody difference when you know somebody personally, just even though you may disagree with them, when there's a personal connection, it just changes everything. And he looked at me yesterday, and said, doesn't it, though? He said, I've learned that in my life. And he said, I wish in our country and in our politics we would all learn that. He said, you keep preaching that, because the more we can just get to know one another, the more love has got a shot. And then he walked away. And I thought, you know, that just may be God trying to get my attention. You see, I believe that the Holy Spirit is in the proclamation business every single moment of every single day. I think Jesus is trying to get your attention and mine every single moment that passes by. And the only question really is, are we aware of it? For a few moments, they were aware of it in Jerusalem. For a few moments, we'll see God trying to get our attention in our culture. Maybe you've had a moment this week where, you know what, the Holy Spirit maybe just put his hand on your shoulder because there was something God needed to speak to you. I believe that that happened. And as we go through Holy Week, here's the whole key. It's just we keep our hearts and ears and souls and mind open. God wants to say a word to us, and it's just imperative that we hear and follow through. Amen? Amen. Amen. Pray with me. Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for your gospel. We thank you for your gospel in action, like people, through people, like Catherine and NIA. Help us to know how to respond. For some of us, that will be our prayers. For some of us, it'll be ways in which we serve. Maybe it's us calling our small group or our Sunday school class to say, let's get together, let's take this on. Maybe it's our financial gifts. Help, though, when we give Jesus, to truly let it be a sacrifice, not just what's convenient. For we know where our treasure is, there goes also our heart. We ask for your guidance, though, above all, Jesus. Help us to be guided and taught and shaped by you. Let our footsteps be your footsteps. Hold our hand as we go, so that we may know that through this Holy Week, whatever step it is that you ask us to take, you are with us. Some of these steps will be easy and joyful as we proclaim your name. Others will be very difficult for us as we realize we turn our eyes from you, we hide from you from time to time, and even want you to go away. But above all, Lord, we give you praise because you consistently and always come back to us, offering us a new hope, a new life, a new opportunity, a new love. All of this based in your Son and his gift to us. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. And as his people, we pray together as he taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.